How's this for a wet dream?
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Maniac with the Machete, a horror podcast where we talk about Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm your host, Jason Soto. Joining me is my friend and co-host, Rachel. Hi, Rachel.
Hey.
So, we're not in good spirits today, not because of the stuff in the news. It's because we have to talk about this movie.
And because of the stuff in the news. I mean, it's both for me. Sorry.
I guess, but to me, number one is this remake, and then number two is the stuff in the news.
Okay.
Because this movie. Okay, we'll get into it. Hey, this is our penultimate episode, though. We only got one more episode after this, then we're completely done.
Hey, if we were Game of Thrones, there'd be like a really big death or two in this episode.
Yeah, maybe.
One of us would have to die.
All right, I'll start sneezing on you, and then we'll go from there.
Oh, well, you can sneeze all you want. We're a state away. We're fine.
Well, we're just one state away? Holy shit.
Two state. No, two. You're in Indiana. Sorry.
Okay. I was like, yeah. Whoa, did you move
Ohio
again?
We have Ohio between us. Fucking Ohio.
And Ohio's a big-ass state, too, because I drove through it, and it takes like 10 hours to get through that motherfucker.
Yeah. I drove the full length of Illinois, not thinking it was that long of a state. Fuck, it's a long state.
Yeah.
A
lot of good ones.
North, directly north to south.
Oh, yeah, definitely if you're doing that. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I could have told you that. Illinois is long.
Yeah.
Long Illinois is long.
Yeah, so many fields.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a lot of fields. So today we're going to be talking about the remake of A Nightmare on Elm Street. It came out in 2010, and this was produced by Michael Bay and his Platinum Dunes company, who basically spent all of the late 2000s, early 2010s, ruining classic horror movies. They did the Friday the 13th remake. They did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He had nothing to do with Halloween. I will give him that. That was Rob Zombie.
Yeah, that was all Rob Zombie.
But, and this very much feels like a Platinum Dunes film. Like, besides Friday the 13th, have you seen a lot of the other Platinum Dunes horror movies, Rachel?
No. I think the only other one I saw was maybe Texas Chainsaw.
Okay.
Massacre.
Let's see all the
like
movies
around
they've done.
06 or so.
So Texas Chainsaw was first. The Amityville Horror was 2005.
Oh, is the one with Ryan?
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, I saw that one too. Okay.
The Hitcher.
No, didn't see that.
Purge. Like I said, did the Purge movies. Interesting.
Right.
I didn't know that. Ouija. Have you seen Ouija?
No.
Okay, you can probably skip it.
Yeah.
And that's about it. And a few other things in between. Of course, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies. Something called Horseman. I never heard of that. Pain and Gain. Do you remember that?
I didn't see it, but I remember it coming out.
And, they did A Quiet Place, too. Well, I didn't know that.
Oh, well, fuck. That's an awesome movie.
Wow. Really? They did Quiet Place? Really? That's weird.
Like the one that just came out last year?
Yeah.
Two years ago?
Yeah. The John Krasinski. That's weird.
Well, at least I got something going for him.
I guess. Huh.
Quiet Place is awesome.
I actually haven't seen it yet. I might get a chance to see it now. I have time.
Strap in. At least you don't have to deal with people like eating popcorn around you in the dead silence.
Oh, that's true. All right.
Oh, if you have Amazon Prime, it is on Prime.
Sweet. Right. Yes.
Now. Yeah.
I definitely do. All right. I will probably be checking that out pretty soon.
It's only an hour and a half. Definitely. It's a great movie.
I'm definitely going to check it out. I'm excited to check it out. So the remake 2010 came out 2010. It was budgeted for $35 million. It made $115.6 million.
Really?
Yeah, apparently there was not a lot going on April of 2010. So
well, there's not going a lot going on April of 2020 either. So. But at least we can claim a pandemic and they couldn't.
Right, exactly. Yeah, this was like a huge movie when this came out, and I did go see it opening weekend. I was out because at the time I had a blog called Invasion of the Bee Movies, and I did a Nightmare on Elm Street run through. Actually, that was the last time I watched all the movies up until this podcast, and I was leading up to the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street, and then I went and saw it. And then I started regretting my decisions ever since.
All your decisions or just that one?
Basically all my decisions.
It like ruined everything.
It was so bad that it retroactively made me regret all of my life's choices. That's how bad this was. So, and I keep seeing all these articles now. About how, oh, this remake is actually not that bad and you need to give it a chance and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no.
But you don't need to.
Yeah, right. It's, you know, the first movie exists. You don't know. Okay, let's get into the problems. Outside of the fact that Michael Bay has something to do with it. So first off the bat, they, like, changed everything. Like, they changed the plot. They changed some of the characters. They changed characters' names. The only one that they kept was Nancy.
Yep.
Which is funny because that does not sound like a 2010 name. Yep. Like, I don't know any teenager named Nancy. You want to, like, unless you know differently.
Not a Nancy. I went to high school with a Nancy, but that was in the 90s, so that was probably still okay back then.
Yeah, that would make sense.
And her parents were like 80 years old, so.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking of somebody else. That was a Ruth, whose parents were like 80 years old. But Nancy's parents are pretty old, too, so it's very unsurprising.
The whole plot's different, and then it opens up on this kid in a diner, and he's already immediately into a nightmare, because, you know, 2010 movies got to start off with a scare.
Well, they got to, they got to get the audience captured right away, or they're done, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
Social media. We blame social media.
Social media. So this dude's in a diner and he's fallen and he fell asleep, and then he wakes up, he's in his diner and he's yelling at the waitress, and so
for more coffee.
For more coffee. He wants coffee, always damn more it. Coffee. Give me some fucking coffee. And so he finds out he's in a nightmare. He sees this disfigured man with knives for fingers, and the disfigured man slashes at the dude's hand, and the dude wakes up in the real diner, and of course he finds the slashes in real life. And then we get basically an exposition dump where we find out there's this guy named Quentin who has a crush on Nancy,
who's the waitress at the diner,
and she's played by Rooney Mara, which I forgot she was even in this movie.
I had no clue until I saw her in the credits.
Yeah, I was like, this must have been like her first movie, because I didn't even remember her being a thing back in 2010 when I went and saw this. But like now she's a little more maybe not super popular, but more of a bigger name.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo remake wasn't that much longer after. I mean, it was 11 or 12. It was
okay. Yeah,
pretty close after 10.
So this was like her breakthrough movie, unfortunately. She should have just made it the girl with the dragon tattoo, honestly. Nancy's a waitress in this diner. There's this dude named Quentin who has a crush on Nancy. And there's this other guy named Jesse.
Yeah.
Who used to date this girl named Chris. who walks into the diner and starts talking to the guy at the diner, Dean. Yes, that's his name. Who, you know, had the nightmare at the beginning. And so they start talking about how he can't sleep and he keeps having these weird nightmares, and she's like, you know, blowing it off, of course. And then he gets so like jittery that he spills coffee on Chris. So she goes to the bathroom, and he, and like, I love this whole, this is a recurring theme in this movie where everyone just like falls asleep at like the drop of a dime. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, we're gonna go somewhere. I'm asleep. And it's like, holy shit, I wish I could fall asleep that fast. God damn. Yep. So he falls asleep. Freddy shows up and basically kills him by making him, force him to slit his own throat with a knife. And then this is like being represented in the real world by him like floating in the air. And Nancy's like yelling at him to wake up, but he doesn't. And he ends up slitting his throat. And hey, we get a funeral.
Yeah.
Trademark.
Funeral. I just want to say I was very satisfied with this, though, because I remember Kellan Lutz being in the trailer for this movie when it came out. And if you don't know, Kellan Lutz was big, dumb, big brother vampire dude bro from Twilight.
Okay.
And so I was like, fuck, I'm going to have to look at Kellan Lutz's stupid face for an hour and a half, because that was just going to be annoying. But then he died within 10 minutes. So I was like, okay, I'll take it.
Well, now that's weird, because Quentin looks exactly like
Robert Pattinson. I know.
Yes.
Kyle Gallner, I believe is his name. And I first saw him on Veronica Mars.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's been here and there, but he first hit me on Veronica Mars because he played this like weird shy dude who turned out to be a creepy rapist. But every time I saw him, I'm like, why do you look like the unsatisfying version of Robert Pattinson? This is not okay.
Well, now better. I'm getting weird deja vu, because when we covered Friday the 13th, wasn't there a guy from Veronica Mars in that movie?
No.
What was that? Because we had this conversation.
No, I don't think Veronica Mars. I was talking about Jared Padalecki.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
And that was Gilmore Girls that I talked about him
in. I swear it was Veronica Mars. Hang on.
No, not this.
Hmm.
So I only remember a couple of people from Veronica Mars, and he was one of them because he turned out to be a creepy rapist. No, I don't remember having this conversation.
Weird.
About Veronica Mars.
Like, somebody showed up in something we watched, and he was, I swear it was Veronica Mars. What the fuck? Okay, I don't know. I have no way to how to cross-reference that, so we'll leave it alone for now.
Okay. We'll leave it alone for now. Dad, I don't know. I have to look that shit up. Anyway, yeah.
Anywho.
Bottom line is, I'm glad Kellan Lutz's character died within the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Circle back to my original point. Yeah.
Yeah. Aha! Found it. Oh. Bam. So, in Friday the 13th, it was, where'd your name go? Holy shit, this guy did a lot of crap. He played Nolan in the Friday the 13th remake. The actor's name is Ryan Hansen, and on Veronica Mars, he played Dick Casablancas.
Yes, I forgot all about Ryan Hansen in the Friday, because he died on the boat or something.
Yeah, see, I told you we did this conversation before.
Okay, so I did bring up Veronica Mars. Yes, before. I remember bringing up Gilmore Girls, but not Veronica Mars.
Yes.
Because that's how conversations with Rachel go. Exactly. Jason's all, whore this and whore that. I'm like, wow. Let me interject with an early 2000s female leading show.
That's
and we'll
funny.
Go from there.
That's funny. But no, I had weird deja vu. I was like, you talked about Veronica Mars before. I know you did. God damn it. I'm glad I was right.
Remember.
I'm so happy that I was right, man.
I'm happy you were right too, and I'm happy I forget Ryan Hansen. So again, well,
so,
stupid
face. Is there anybody in Veronica Mars that you like?
Yes, Veronica Mars.
Kristen Bell. That's the only person Veronica Mars you like is Veronica
Mars. Her
dad
was great. And there was another actor who was not cropped up in any of these. He started off as an asshole, but turned out to be really great by the end, and I can't remember the actor's name. But he's out there somewhere.
Okay. All right. Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I was going to bring up the fact that the main dude in this, Quentin, looks like fucking Robert Pattinson.
Because that's
all I kept. Even when I went and saw this movie, I was like, this is fucking the dude from Twilight. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like,
he looks like a bargain bin Robert Pattinson.
Yeah.
He really does.
Like, is this like what the leading man's going to look like now? Just all Robert Pattinson's? Like, great.
in his love of emo.
Yeah, he wore a Joy Division shirt. He wore a Joy Division shirt.
And a beanie and a hoodie.
Yeah, and he was all pale and... Oh, yeah. Man. So we get a funeral because, you know, you can't make a Nightmare on Elm Street movie without a funeral.
That's right.
I'm desperately trying to remember if there was a funeral in Freddy vs. Jason. I honestly don't remember. So if that does not have a funeral, I am going to honestly be disappointed because that would have been a funeral in every single one of the movies. So I'm trying to remember. I can't remember right now. We'll find out in a couple of weeks. So we go to the funeral, and then for whatever reason, this movie at the beginning focuses on Chris.
I know. I got so confused.
Because
there's a Nancy. Is she just like a red herring? You know? Right. Oh, here's our mousy Nancy girl.
So Chris is essentially the Tina character from the original movie. They just expanded her role by like 1,000%.
Yeah.
And so this girl, Chris, at the funeral, she has a vision of a little girl at the funeral, you know, with a slash on her chest. And, you know, she ends up having a nightmare, of course, because all these characters just fucking fall asleep wherever.
Fell asleep at the funeral.
Like, damn. And so then she starts having, like, she keeps talking about, you know, she's having nightmares. The dude, Jesse, follows her to back her home and actually breaks into the house.
Yeah, well, he pulls the through the window thing, doesn't he? Like,
well, yeah,
Glenn with Nancy in the first one. That's another throwback that kind of made you think that she was going to be the main character.
Right, exactly. So, okay, so the mom, Chris's mom, she ends up being a flight attendant. And she's going to, like, go, you know, fly to England on a red eye or something. Sorry, I got a message while I was talking.
Okay.
So Chris is now home alone, but she's trying to figure out like what the hell's going on because she keeps having these dreams of this guy with a glove and then this little girl and then something about a preschool.
Well, yeah, she saw a picture of her who happened to be the little girl that had the slash on her dress.
Yes.
In a picture with Dean at his funeral, but she's like, but Dean and I didn't start going to school together until we were 7, and here we are on this playground. What's going on, mother? And mother's all like,
and by the way,
nothing.
So I'm jumping ahead a bit, but the girl that played Chris's mom looked like Nancy's mom in the original.
She favored her. Yeah.
Yeah. So I always had like that like thought, like, is this going to be our Nancy character? Because Nancy's mom in this movie is played by Connie Britton.
Yep.
Who does a decent job considering what she's given. Yeah. Let's just say that. So Chris is home alone. And then what made me question this was, she puts on the security alarm, like the house alarm. And then this dude like comes in through the window and I'm like, why isn't anything like going off? Because I've been to houses with houses alarms where they're armed, and if you just, like, breathe on a window incorrectly, the damn thing goes off. So, it's like...
Well, it depends on how it's set up, because I was there...
I guess.
I was there when my grandmother's was set up, so, I mean, it depends on, like, if the top floor windows weren't set, because, I mean, sometimes you want a window open at night, you know?
I guess some people
may not set them.
Look at you defending this movie. Way to go, Rachel. I trained you right.
I am defending the home alert alarm system
Here I am poking plot holes into this movie, and Rachel's like, "No, I'm defending this. This is how this actually works."
Well, I mean, I was actually there when they were setting up my grandmother's at her house, so I know how they work a little bit and how you can like adjust them to your needs. Shut up. No, what I want to know is why do these goddamn teenagers have master suites for bedrooms?
I know, right?
How big was Chris's room? Jesus.
It was fucking huge. I want to point something out too, and I feel weird being the guy in this podcast pointing this out. I'm surprised you didn't bring this up. I always call bullshit when women fall asleep with bras on.
It happens.
Oh, no, but I mean, like, intentionally going to sleep with a bra on. Like, I don't mean, like, falling. Like, I fell asleep.
Like, getting into bed on purpose.
Right.
Yeah, that shit ain't happening with me.
See, I didn't think so. No. I didn't think so. So I always call bullshit when I see that. I notice that, and I'm like, well, she should be, you know, braless at least. Like, have a shirt on, fine, but, like, she's still got her bra on. That's very strange. Anyway, so the Jesse dude sneaks into the window, and they start talking about how they're freaked out because they keep having nightmares, and they feel like if they fall asleep, they're going to die. And so he manages, and this is the, I don't know if I explained this or not, but he was the ex-boyfriend of Chris. They broke up.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it. And he got super jealous when she sat down with Dean at the diner and freaked out.
Yeah, yeah, he was all mad.
Became a big diaper baby about the whole thing.
Yes, exactly.
But now he's there for her to comfort. And talk about emo, guy. If you think Quentin's emo, this dude is like, he's got the guy liner and the... Oh, yeah, it's bad.
Yeah. This guy was...
Oof. Oh.
So, what's his name? Jesse ends up staying, the night over, because Chris is home alone. Uh-huh. And Chris ends up having a nightmare where she wakes up in the house, and the poor dog died. Oh, that made me sad a little bit.
Yep.
Poor dog.
If the dog really died, though.
Well, I know, but I mean, still, we saw it slashed and stuff. It was kind of fucked up. But then she ends up in, a boiler room, which they downplay the boiler room in this. Like, it's only in a couple of scenes.
Well, I mean, there was a reason for the boiler room in the original, but here, when you get more of the backstory on Freddy, there's no reason for a boiler room.
No, it's okay. We'll get to it. So she ends up in the boiler room, and Freddy shows up. And so we should note that Freddy here is played by Jackie Earle Haley, who, if you've seen Watchmen, he was Warshak. And honestly, he only got this part because of that movie. Because they were looking for someone to be Freddy when they were making this movie. And Watchmen came out. And so Robert Englund suggested Jackie Earle Haley because of his performance in Watchmen. And so they went with it. Now, here's an interesting story. Back in 1984, when they were casting the original Nightmare on Elm Street, Johnny Depp went to the auditions, and he was accompanied by Jackie Earle Haley. So the part that Johnny Depp ended up playing was supposed to go to Jackie Earle Haley, but Johnny Depp just went with him for the auditions. But instead of Jackie being picked, they picked Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And so... But ironically, then, some years later, Haley would end up playing Freddy. So, but that's how he got the part of Freddy, was because he was in Watchmen. And he kind of disappeared again after this, I feel like. I don't know if this movie ruined
it. I don't know. Yeah, he did like this and Watchmen, and then that little children movie where he played a child molester. Which we'll get into more later.
Okay.
And
I'm looking at his IMDb. He's apparently in Preacher. I didn't know that. He's in the Tick, the TV show on Amazon.
Oh.
And Narcos. And Alita. He's in Alita. Huh. Interesting. So he does. He's still around, but he's not a huge name by any means.
Yeah.
And he is kind of a strange looking guy, so it kind of fits that he gets typecasted into these roles, apparently. So all right. So this Freddy. They wanted to tone down the sarcastic one-liner Freddy and make him like evil again.
Yeah.
And how do you feel? How do you feel he did in this part? Like, how do you like Jackie Earle's Haley, you know, portrayal of Freddy in this movie?
I really didn't have much of a feeling toward it at all. Like, I mean, yes, Robert Englund got silly by the end, obviously, mm-hmm. but so did everything else around him.
Yeah.
I was more impressed by the makeup because he did look more like a genuine burn victim to me.
Right.
Than the 80s, the Robert Englund version, who was just kind of had, I mean, yes, it's the iconic one, but I mean, for going for more realism, the makeup here was definitely much more on point.
Uh-huh.
Like the lips burned away and the eyelids and everything, just from burn victims I've seen here or there. Let's not like the thing I go look for, but it did look more realistic. As for him as Freddy, I know the one-liners weren't there, but I didn't find him particularly menacing either.
No, yeah. Yeah, there was like a couple of kind of jokes here and there, but yeah. not as extensive as the other movies have been. I just feel like he was bland.
Yeah.
Like, totally. He was just there, and he just kept, like, showing up, and then he would do stuff like, boo. Like, he would literally say, like, boo. Or he'd be like, right. I'm here, or whatever. And then he would not instantly kill people. Like, you know, he kind of, you know, killed Chris kind of quickly. But, like, everyone else, it felt like he toyed with them for some reason.
Yeah. I really do feel like with the makeup and everything, I mean, you could have put a robot in there or just fully CGI'd Freddy and given him a few lines. I mean, he really had no personality.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yes, he had none of that Robert Englund charm or...
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not fancy.
He's not fancy, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Jackie Earl Haley is not fancy. So he kills Chris in a similar fashion to Tina in the original.
Yeah.
Kind of has her floating around, not floating, but like against the wall and the ceiling and stuff, and then slashes at her, and then she dies. Jesse, of course, is there, finds the body, gets covered in all the blood, and then does the stupid thing of like running. But what was different this time was he immediately ran to Nancy's house. Mm-hmm. Which apparently is another person who just has her window wide open and he just climbs right in.
Yeah.
Is like, hey, so Chris is dead, but I didn't do it despite me being covered in all this blood. And so then he leaves Nancy's, and then the cops like immediately find him, like not even like 10 seconds go by when he's like, he gets found.
Yeah.
And of course... At Nancy's, yeah, yeah. And then, of course, yelling out, I didn't do it, is going to like make the cops go, oh, well, okay, he said he didn't do it, so I guess we'll let him go.
We'll ignore all the blood. Just go wash that off. You'll be fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he gets sent to jail. And then it just like, I don't know. Then everything just like meanders from this point on. Everything just kind of bumps into each other, and stuff's just like happening just to advance the plot, because like now Quentin's all about researching like sleep deprivation and you know, weird dream stuff. And then here's how they explain the whole falling asleep quickly thing is they introduce this concept of micro naps, where they say that if you don't sleep for like 2 or 3 days or something, your mind's gonna make you fall asleep, and then you have an immediate dream. So that's how they explain everything that's about to happen from this point forward. So I guess the filmmakers were like, well, I mean, we can't have them in bed all the time. We got to have them mm-hmm. out doing stuff. So micro naps, sure. Let's just do that. And then Nancy has these dreams of a preschool, and she's trying to figure out what the preschool is all about. And then she's trying to figure out now everything kind of focuses onto Nancy finally. We can't even go back to Nancy like about 45 minutes into the movie. It's now it's all Nancy all the time. Oddly enough, they didn't have her dad in this movie, nor was he a cop. Like they cut
There's no
that
John
out.
Saxon. There's no dad at all. We don't know where he was. Just
no,
mom.
Just Connie Britton there.
Who wasn't a junkie like the mom in the 80s, 84 version. Not a
she
drunk
was,
or
she was just there.
Yeah, she was just
she
a mom.
She was just there, and she was just there to provide a back, exposition for, like, a scene coming up here.
Yeah, pretty much.
So basically they're trying to figure out what's going on. They keep having dreams about this preschool. They find out through an envelope that Nancy's mom didn't hide very well that they all went to preschool together, but none of them remember that. They all swore they met like in high school or elementary or
yeah, they didn't start going
whatever.
School together, like various ones were saying various things, like some were sixth grade, some were junior year, something
yeah
like that.
Yeah, and so but they find this picture of all the kids together in preschool at this certain preschool that's in this town, and so then Connie Britton shows up as the mom, and then she's like, oh my god, you're not supposed to find that. And so then she kind of provides a story of
god forbid you burn the evidence, you burned enough stuff, I mean, come
right
on.
Exactly. Like, why not just shred it or something? Like, damn. She tells them, you all did go to school together. We were just trying to protect you because there was this guy named Fred Krueger who was the maintenance guy at this preschool that you all went to. And he liked, you guys all liked him. He was your friend and he played with games with you and stuff. But then you guys started saying that he was touching you inappropriately. And so then she kind of stopped at that point. So she's like, well, we had to do something about him. And that was the end of that.
Yep. And she said he left town.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah.
He's like, what happened? Did he go to jail? No, he left town.
He just left town. That's right. Yeah. He left, quote unquote, left town. I guess technically he did leave town if you really think about it. So they decide to go investigating the other kids that were at the school. Nancy finds out that they all died through mysterious ways. One, like, what was it? I can't remember them all.
One
was a car accident. Some other girl. Some dude was like a blogger. And he just kept having weird dreams about it.
And like he died online, like while he was video blogging.
Which
like he fell asleep, didn't he? And something, died.
Yeah, which made me wonder how did that get uploaded?
What I saw? That guy who was the video blogger. Well, he may have been live streaming. I don't know.
Maybe.
That guy who was the video blogger was also the Asian guy in the Friday the 13th remake.
Holy shit, no way, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I did not catch that. Wow. All right. I gotta look into that. Hang on.
I don't believe you entirely.
I do. No. I just didn't catch that. Weird. Okay. Yeah, all right. I'll go. Yeah, all right. Weird.
Aaron Wu, who played Chewie in the Friday the 13th.
And that was the guy who was in the shed, right? In Friday the 13th?
Yes. He ended up in the shed.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now I see it. Yeah. Huh. Interesting.
Yes, he was the Marcus blogger guy in Nightmare on Elm Street. So they're connected.
Wow.
Besides Michael Bay.
Yep. Yeah. So while this is happening, what's his name? Quentin. Is having a swim practice because we had to have something for the ladies. Yeah, Speedos.
He doesn't seem like the swim type.
He seemed kind of chubby, right? Like
Well, no, just he doesn't seem like the athlete. He's like the emo kid. I mean, I don't know if it's something like his dad makes him do. But then again, Glenn didn't seem like a big football guy either. He seemed like preppy with
him. Yeah, every
time you saw Glenn, he was like in like khakis with the sweater tied around the polo shirt and everything.
Yeah, that's true.
But then all of a sudden he's some big football star. I'm like, I don't think those two things go together. I've seen a lot of John Hughes movies, and I am pretty sure you can't put that same those two personalities in the same person.
That's true. That is
against
very
the rules.
True.
But Johnny Depp did it anyway.
He did it, yeah.
So even though Glenn is useless.
Yes. I even called the episode that.
I know. I had to bring it back.
I love. So this dude is a swimmer, and he fell asleep while swimming. I guess that happens. I don't know. Like
on the Sims, it does. It was a great way to kill him in the first and second game.
Oh, really?
Let him fall asleep in the pool. Take away the pool ladder. They fall asleep and die. You're sick of them. Yeah, no. It's great.
I'm not a future serial killer, Rachel, so I wouldn't know about that.
I will have to tell you stories about my 7-year-old that will make you really scared about what I'm living with.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm freaking out right now. She's been drawing pictures. It's getting scary.
Oh, man. So Charlize Theron will be playing her in a movie 20 years from now. Oh, boy. So he falls asleep during swim practice. And he gets to witness what happened to Krueger, which was... as basically they kept this the same too, kinda, was the parents were chasing him apparently all through town. And they end up in like a boiler room type factory type place. I don't know.
Yeah.
So I think this is where the boiler room fits in.
I guess. Yeah.
So he's, Fred, Freddy Krueger, he's running, he runs to this place, and then the parents of all the all the parents we've been seeing so far, like Connie Britton, Clancy Brown. I keep forgetting to mention Clancy Brown's in
this. Yeah, that's Quentin's also
dad.
The principal of their high school.
Yes.
Yeah.
He was the one kind of leading the charge, which really makes sense if you know anything about
Clancy Brown,
right? Yeah. Yeah. It totally fits his MO. He starts throwing like Molotov cocktails into the building Krueger's in. And then even Connie Britton's like, why are we doing this?
That's a bit much.
Yeah. And then he's like, he did stuff to our kids. And so, yeah, they burn the building he's in, and they burn Freddy. He runs out on fire. And then that's how Quentin knows that's how he died. And so Quentin, gets mouth to mouth because he fell asleep in the fucking pool because he's a fucking moron.
He was just taking a micro nap.
A micro nap.
Like the science said.
So they're trying to now Quentin and Nancy knows, what's going on. Like, okay, so the parents killed Krueger because of the stuff that the kid said. Now there's this weird little part in this movie where Quentin seems to think that Krueger was innocent.
Yeah, they both think that like the kids just lied because they were five. They'll say anything.
Yeah, like
they were totally lying about Krueger and that their parents have killed an innocent man. I mean, it was like, whoa.
Yeah, that was a little weird.
Very odd.
And then they were like, yeah, that's why he's after us, because we got him killed for lying. And I was like, what the what? Like,
yeah,
no,
I was very taken
why
back by that.
Are you
I was like,
changing
you can't
that?
Make Freddy Krueger innocent. No.
And I remember the first time I watched this, I was so scared that was the way they were gonna go with it.
Yeah,
I was like, are you fucking kidding me? They're gonna make him an innocent guy who just happened to get like, no, please tell me that's not what's gonna happen.
Well, just the fact that Quentin and Nancy were so adamant about it, like we were just kids. I'm like, you don't remember? And from what your parents say, there was evidence. Why do you think this man was innocent? I don't understand where you're coming from with this. Just because he's after you?
Yeah.
It made no sense for them to think that he was innocent at that point.
I know. It was so fucking dumb. So weird. So now it's just a matter of, okay, we got to go to the preschool and figure out, how to stop him, basically. It's basically what they come across. And so So then he gets like a series of misadventures going from like the house or the school to the preschool. And that first day, they stop at a pharmacy because the Quentin, he takes these, like, I don't know anything about these kind of medicines, but like something that keeps you awake, some kind of like ADD medicine or something. I can't, they kind of explained it. I don't remember what it was though.
Well, I know, like, in younger kids, it is supposed to help younger kids calm down, like Adderall, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, but I think it was something like that, yeah.
But the older you get, it actually gives you, it's like speed, basically.
Okay.
And he's like, I've been on this since I was 15. I'm like, what, now you're like 16? I mean, like, I'm very confused about how old you're supposed to be.
I know, right?
You're all, like, 30 playing high school kids, but how old are these high school kids? So, but yeah, the older they get, it's supposed to basically turn more into speed. It's apparently been a problem among like college kids and stuff like that
at some point.
So, but yeah, so that was exactly the kind of the situation.
So he goes to the pharmacy to try to get more of this like Adderall, whatever it was. And then the pharmacist is like, no, your prescription's out. We have to call a doctor. And you know, Quentin's not helping his case any by like, come on, man, you gotta just give me one shot, man. I just need one. Just give me one, man. And I'm like, dude, you're not getting any. Nancy, meanwhile, keeps falling asleep in the car, and Freddie keeps dreaming about Freddie coming after her. So she tries to keep her awake by burning herself with a cigarette lighter,
which totally makes sense.
Yeah, and then she goes into the pharmacy, and then has a micro nap again, where she pictures Freddy coming after her in the pharmacy, and then he starts slashing at her, which makes her wake up, and then Quentin sees her in the pharmacy, and like, oh my god, we gotta get you to the hospital. And this trip to the hospital was the most pointless scene in the whole goddamn movie. Like, I don't even know what the point of this was. The only thing I could think of was they had to get these kids adrenaline.
Yeah.
And it was like, we don't know how. Adrenaline. Yeah. I don't know. Like, how do we get these kids adrenaline? Well, let's have them go to the hospital. Why are they going to the hospital? Well, Nancy got stabbed. Well, but she's not that hurt. Shut up. So she's in the hospital.
Lane, bro.
Right. She's in the hospital. Her mom shows up. And the nurses, of course, and I kept waiting for, what the fuck? God damn it, I had her name. Oh my god, never mind. she was in all the other movies. Anyway, she was the sister of the producer, and she's Lynn, fuck. My brain hurts right now. I can't think of her name. So she was in the other Nightmare on Elm Street movie. She's the producer's sister. Anyway, I kept waiting for her to show up to play her role as the nurse, but sadly that didn't happen.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Cool.
Yeah, her. Okay, I can't think what the fuck her name is right now.
Was she in all the movies? I just remember the nurse in the last one.
I felt like she popped up in...
Is it Lynn Shay? Is that her
name? Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Jesus Christ. Welcome. Let's see. Let me look her up. She was in a few of them because, you know, her brother produced like all the movies. So she showed up a lot in the original series. Let me see how many she showed up in. Oh my gosh, she did a lot of movies too. Jesus Christ. All right. 84, 85, 87. So there's, yeah. Well, okay. Maybe not. Maybe she was only a new nightmare. Huh. I swear she showed up in something else. Maybe it was uncredited and I'm not seeing it. I hate when they do that.
No, oh, I know.
They don't put the uncredited versions in the IMDb. It's like a whole separate thing. Like, just put it in the damn... Okay, anyway. We'll forget all that. So, anyway, so they're at the hospital. Nancy's mom shows up. And they want to put Nancy to sleep. And then Nancy's like, no, I don't want to go to sleep. And so... there's this whole like 5 minutes dedicated of like, we can't have her, we need to sedate her, but only with your permission. And then the mom like freaks out and stares at the form, and I kept waiting for something to happen, like, oh my God, nobody will be seated during the given permission to put my daughter to sleep scene. Like, this is so vital to the movie.
Yeah, I know. It was like, ridiculous.
What?
But also, we should note that Nancy, this is the point where Nancy had grabbed part of Freddy's sweater and brought it back.
Oh, yeah, that's right. After
that
last
attack. And
I forgot about that. That's right.
Where he tore up her shoulder.
So this is where she realizes she can bring him into the real world. And so she
and then Quentin's going through the crash carts looking for Epi.
Right, yeah. Meanwhile, he's waiting and he sees a nurse's like station and gets some adrenaline and realizes that'll be a substitute for his medicine. But then after like the mom like spends 5 minutes signing this form, they go back to the room and she's gone. And then that just ends, and it's like, what the fuck was the point of all that?
Yeah.
Like, damn. So, yeah, Quentin's like, okay, I got this adrenaline. They're driving back. They're driving to the preschool now. And he's like, I got adrenaline. It's gonna keep us awake. And then Nancy's all like, well, that might not be a good idea.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Nancy, the voice of reason in this movie. And so he takes it, and he's like, holy shit. But apparently it doesn't work because he keeps falling asleep still. I forgot to mention that they ruined in this movie my favorite scene from the original, which was the body bag scene in the hallway.
Because
it just fucking went nowhere. Like, it was Nancy was in the school and she sees the body bag and it's Chris and she's like, Nancy, come party with me or something like that. And she says something like that, right? Like, don't you wanna have a party or something? I swear she says something like that.
Yeah.
I swear to God she says something like that. And I'm like, what? And then of course she gets, you know, lifted up and dragged away, but that was it. That's all that fucking happened in that scene. It was like, well, we gotta put this scene in the Moo movie. It did so well in the original. But it's not going to lead to anywhere. So, nah, fuck it. Just put it in there. Like, I hate that they did that. They were just better off not even putting it in there. Because they even did the scene. The scene, too, with the Nancy in the bathtub.
Yeah. But instead of Freddy, her being dragged under by Freddy during a dream, she gets out of the bathtub, goes to a room where it's snowing.
Yeah.
And then it. He attacks, and at some point she wakes up still in the bathtub, and I'm like, what?
Yes,
why?
I know, like, we have all these.
They did the part with her sitting in bed, and then him coming, like, trying to come through the wall.
Oh, right.
And it was so terrible. It was so CGI.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
the original movie was clearly a practical effect and worked so much better, so much more creepy.
Exactly. This was like all these iconic scenes. They just ruined them. Like. Ugh.
Yeah.
See, I hate this fucking movie. So they find the preschool, and this is like the last like 10 minutes of the movie. Now we're pretty much almost done. They find the preschool. They get in there. They find Freddy's like maintenance office or whatever. And then
he lived in the basement.
On the base, that's right. Yeah, because
that's a thing. We let our gardener live in the basement of a preschool. Sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's true. That's all very true. So they find like where he was living, and then they find like the secret room in the back, and then Nancy like remembers like, oh my God, he used to take me. Into this room, and he has memories. And then Quentin finds pictures, like Polaroid pictures of Nancy as a little girl. And then that's when they both realize, oh, shit, he actually did do all this stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, doy, like, fuckers, like, damn. And then they're like, well, wait, he's not going after us because he was innocent. He's going after us because we told. It's like, eh. I do like, and by that I mean I hate that they don't like in the first movie they kind of like. the parents, like, you know, like John Saxon's character or the mom or whoever was all like, you know, yeah, we killed, they owned up to it, right? They're like, yeah, we killed Freddy, we chased him, and then he was a child murderer, and, you know, we all gathered together as a town, and we burned him. And then this one, it's all like, no, I don't know what happened to him. You know, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
He left town.
He's gone. We're cool.
And then it goes to Clancy Brown, who's like, well, we did it too because of what he was doing to you guys. And that was the only reason why we did it. And then that's all they ever talk about it. Like, the parents talked more about Freddy in the first movie than the kids did because of what they did. And then this time around, they're all like, we don't know what you're talking about. Fred who? Like, there's nobody by that name in this town. What are you talking about? Very weird.
Yeah, I agree.
So then Nancy decides, okay, I'm going to go to sleep. I'm going to go try to bring him into the real world. And leaves Quentin to wake her up once, you know, she gets him or whatever. Kind of similar to
Glenn,
the first movie. Yeah. And so so she falls asleep. Quentin, of course, immediately falls asleep.
Yeah, like, that adrenaline's working so well for him.
Exactly. Like, he just immediately falls asleep. And then he gets attacked by Freddy. And then Freddy then hears Nancy. And then they do explain that Freddy liked Nancy the most. Like, he was, like, she was his favorite. So, of course, that's why he was going after her the most.
Though the last, I guess, since everybody else was dying off first, he was saving her for last.
I guess so. Yeah.
Let's try to explain that.
Yeah. Quentin gets like stabbed by Freddy, and so he's not waking up anytime soon. Nancy eventually finds Krueger and starts, you know, fighting with him a little bit, and then is like, he chases her around like the house and different settings and the school and all this stuff. And then there's even a part where she's wearing like the dress that she used to wear when she was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's all like, that was my favorite dress of yours. So I'll say this for Jackie Earle Haley, was that he does play a creep very well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, around the same time, he was in Little Children, where he was he'd been a convicted sex offender. I don't remember if he was a child molester, but he was a convicted sex offender who had moved back in with his mother. And so, of course, he had to register as a sex offender, so he was... he was outcast by, because it was like a small suburban community.
Okay.
And yeah, so he was having to deal with all that. And there's other shit going on. It wasn't a great movie. But so, yeah, he does creep well.
Yeah, I've not seen that, actually. Interesting.
Yeah.
I will give him that. He plays a creepy guy very, very fucking well. So eventually, you know, Quentin manages to wake up from his wounds and wakes up Nancy, who then drags Freddy into the real world.
Yeah. And we kind of get the goo on the stairs with her, but it's like a hallway full of blood or something. Yeah.
There's a bunch of like visual stuff that's like her running and she's falling through goop, and then all kinds of visual stuff. So then he's now in the real world, and then, like, you're thinking, oh, okay, this is going to be, like, a long, drawn-out fight. Like, it's going to be these two kids versus Freddy, and it's going to be all, like, deep and, like, you know, oh, man, they were, like, you know, sexual abuse survivors. Now they're going after their attacker, and this is going to be good and stuff. And it's like, nope, they're just going to simply stab him in the throat.
and then
he's dead. Yep, that's
everybody
it.
And go then, home.
Then that's Nancy sets the place on fire, and then for a place, for a building and a part of town that like nobody goes to anymore.
Yeah,
the fucking cops and fire department showed up really quickly.
Yep, I was like, they're there. Okay,
like already, okay. Like, cool. Man. And then they established, and there was like, I don't know if you heard this or not, but there was like a throwaway line by like one of the cops or something who said,
nobody.
There's nobody inside here. Yeah. So then I was like, Of course, yeah. Because we got to set up for the sequel for the new franchise.
Never happened, thank the gods.
Yeah, fucking.
Imagine but you always have to have the last jump scare or whatever.
Yeah, I'm about to get to that. I was just saying, imagine if they remade part two.
Let's not. Oh my god,
that would be a mess. Like, I almost want to see how much of a train wreck that would be. Cause god damn, that would be dumb as fuck. So yes, we get our final jump scare where Nancy comes back home and the mom is there and is like, you know, hey, you know, sorry we put you through that and we had to do what we did.
You can sleep now.
Yeah, you can go to sleep now. And then they're in front of a mirror. And it's very, like, an obvious thing. You're supposed to look at the mirror because they make it, like, front and center of this mirror that they're standing in front
of. Like, Nancy and her mom are standing off to the left, and then there's the mirror.
Yeah, exactly. And then soon the reflection of the mom gets replaced by Freddy, who then jumps out of the mirror, stabs the mom in, like, the back of the head. So, like, her
eyeballs through her eyes,
get poked out. Almost like they want to make this 3D, but they didn't. And then the mom gets sucked into the mirror, and then that's the end.
Much like the mother through the window doorway of the door in the first one at the end.
So this one wasn't as funny or memorable.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, that's the end of the movie. And then the movie ends with the 2010 new metal song. Because that's how all these horror movies ended back in the day.
Yeah.
And then, yep, that's it. So, yeah, this movie fucking sucks.
Yeah, it's true.
But, yeah, there was just no, you know, I'm not one of those anti-remake guys. Like, I'm not, like, a purist, or I'm like, oh, you ruined my childhood, or, you know, you're ruining the classic. Like, it's there for me to watch. You know, if I want to watch the original Nightmare on Elm Street, I'll go watch it. That's fine. But if you're going to remake something as big and popular as fucking Nightmare on Elm Street, just try a little bit. Like, just don't do your typical, like, teenage, you know, slasher movie that you've been, you know, pumping out since, like, 2005. Like, because this just feels very much like all those other, like, horror movies that came out in, like, the late 2000s. Like, you I'm sure you've seen a few of those, right?
Oh, yeah. Probably,
like,
maybe.
This just felt like one of those.
I was surprised by the lack of sex, too.
Exactly. There was no nudity. There was no sex. I think the sex was implied between Chris and Jesse, maybe. I mean, I don't know.
When he spent the night?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Like, maybe. But, you couldn't tell. Just dumb. So, anyway, what are your thoughts, Rachel? What's your final thoughts and rating?
Yeah, it sucked. I guess a one.
Oh, wow.
Oh, is that too high?
You do you.
I'll say one just because they at least killed Kellan Lutz within the first 10 minutes. I'm still riding high off that emotion of not having to see that dumb face for 90 minutes. And I like Rooney Mara, just in better stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So that was, you know, she was fine. And as much as I've picked on Kyle Gowner or whatever his name is, being the knockoff Robert Pattinson, I don't dislike the guy. I like Connie Britton and Clint. It was a better cast than it could have been.
Was he in anything else like that I might have seen? Let's see here.
Kyle Gowner.
Yeah, I'm looking at his IMDb.
Been here and there. I can't remember what all. He was in that Red State movie that was it Kevin Smith that did that?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah,
he was one of the
guys
that got trapped and killed by the church. Yeah.
Apparently, he was in Wet Hot American Summer.
All right, there too. I know I've seen him here and there, and I always recognize him when he pops up, but I never commit to memory his resume other than Veronica Mars, of course.
I've not seen any of these other movies. I've not seen any of these other ones. Yeah, I've seen Red State, and I've seen this. Oh, Jennifer's Body. He was in Jennifer's Body.
Oh, okay, there you go.
And which was good. I don't care. You fight me, all right? I like Jennifer's Body. It's a good movie.
I saw it one time. I don't remember anything else about it. Anyway, so it could have been a much worse cast. Like, the Friday the 13th had Jared Padalecki, who's fine. And then there was one other super popular girl on that, too. And I can't, or super popular for, like, some CW show or something. Some teen show, like Wintry Hill or something. I feel like,
yeah,
like Hannah Baker, Danielle Hannah Baker, was that who played his sister? Or the girl that was helping him? The girl that was helping him.
Let me look. Sister, I don't think. I only recall Jared, so.
Yeah. Anyway, but the rest of that cast was just garbage. Absolute trash. Especially the dude who played the dude bro, Trent, or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, exactly.
So, I don't feel like we had those ridiculous caricatures this time around with this. No.
Like, yeah, go. Yeah.
So, I mean, like I said, the cast could have been so much worse. And that's about it.
Yeah, yeah.
That and Jackie Earl Haley's burn makeup. I mean, where did he get the fedora from?
Well, he wore it in the there was a flat one of the flashbacks when they were showing
him.
Garden? Yeah, he had
didn't
the fedora.
Die in it.
No, well, no, but
okay.
I mean, he didn't die with the knives gloves either.
Well, that's true. But he at least had the sweater on. You could see the red sweater peeking out from underneath the coat when they burned him alive.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I don't remember who were in the red fedora, but I guess he must have. All right, the brown fedora. Anyway, so, yeah, this movie was
one,
just dumb. We have one.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Do I have any redeeming qualities to this movie to give it a one?
I guess you don't dislike Killen less as much as I do to be happy that he died in the first 10 minutes.
No, I didn't even know who the dude was.
Yeah.
I've
watched Twilight quite a bit, but mainly with Riff Tracks. Mainly with Riff Tracks.
I guess I will give the credit to Jackie Earl Haley of being a creep very well.
Yeah.
He
was creepier as living than he was as like Freddy Krueger.
Exactly.
The villain.
Yeah.
Which is not great, but I mean, I guess something to talk about or appreciate.
All right. So I'll also give this a one as well, just because of just for the couple of scenes where Jackie Earl Haley was kind of creepy, but everything else is just trash. I mean, and you know, I've spent about like 10 years of my life watching some of the worst movies you'll ever see in your life. And this does not fall anywhere near that level. I'm just mad that this is just such a blah movie. Like, that's what I hate about it. Like, it's not,
it's a really bad movie that got a lot of money spent on it when there's so many better movies that get almost nothing.
Right.
It's just insulting. Yeah.
There, you know, it's just such a, it's just there. Like, it doesn't do anything exciting. They retell the story, they completely change up the story, like they change everything about Nightmare on Elm Street,
but which they don't even, they show the street name like once and that was it. And who even lives on there? Chris, and she's the only one.
You know what I almost was waiting, you know what I was waiting for to happen in this one? That would have been hilarious. I would have gave this a two if this ended up happening. There's this part where Nancy is looking at Freddy and she goes, "You're just a nightmare." And I kept waiting for him to say, "Yeah, I'm a nightmare on Elm Street." I would have gave this a two if he would have said that. That would have been amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm giving it a one. It's just not good. Like, there's just no point.
This is clearly just writing off the name.
Exactly. Exactly. They were like, "Well, we remade Friday the 13th. We might as well remake Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, what the fuck? Why not?" So, yeah. I don't know. All right. Well, we got through that.
Ugh, we did.
We have one more episode left, Rachel.
One more.
One more, and then we are done. And I feel like, in my personal opinion, we saved the best for last.
All right.
We are going to take on, in a couple of weeks, barring the end of the world.
Yep.
Freddy versus Jason, finally. I've been so excited about covering this movie. I've been so excited to have you watch it finally. And I cannot wait to get your thoughts. I'm sure you're not going to like it. I really suspect you're going to hate it. But I think you're going to have fun, though. I'm going to say that. I'm going to make that prediction. I think you're not going to like it, but I think you're going to have fun.
Okay.
Because sometimes you surprise me with your thoughts on stuff. And sometimes you're like, I hated that movie and I didn't have fun. But I think you'll find some fun stuff in this movie. I think there's going to be some laughs to be had.
Okay.
And then we'll be done with this podcast series. And then you will finally be dubbed a horror expert. Because you would have seen, you'd have seen the main horror movies that are out in the world. So, all right. So everyone out there, thank you very much for checking this out. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/maniacwiththemachete. Probably too late to subscribe if you're on Spotify, but do it anyway. We have one episode left, and you'll be notified when that goes up. We are basically where all other podcasts are found. I just found out the other day that because I upload through Podomatic, it goes through like 30 other podcasts, like apps.
Really?
Yeah, so, you know, whenever they say at the end, like, wherever podcasts can be found, that's quite literally true. Basically, any, like, podcast app that's out there, like, you will find this podcast and my other podcast, whatever. You will find those on there. So I found that was pretty cool because a friend of mine who really doesn't do internet anymore, he just gave up on the internet. You probably think I'm kidding, but I'm really dead serious. He doesn't do the internet anymore. I told him about, you know, my podcast, and he's like, okay, I'll check you out on this one called Overcast. And it's like this app on an iPhone that, like, you know, subscribes to podcasts. I'm like, oh, I've never heard of that. Interesting. So there you go. Yeah, so that's it. Thank you very much for suffering through the remake. Rachel,
you're came truly, out on the other side.
It's you fun. You are a sport, let me tell you. So
it's not the all worst everybody. Thing that's happened in this shitty week, and it's only Wednesday, but
yes, you know. Yeah. So all right, everybody, stay safe, wash your hands, please be safe and healthy, and we'll catch
social
you in a couple weeks.
Distance yourself.
Yeah, social distancing, do it.
Yeah,
see ya.